Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, this is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. It's our Covenant Renewal Sunday. It's an opportunity we get to kick all of our church members out of the church and start afresh. And we'll explain what we mean by being a covenant member church in just a few moments. But I don't know if you guys noticed, but Philip started out on the drums this morning, and he wound up behind the keyboards, and I'm just impressed, Philip. Thank you so much. Pulling double duty this morning. Also this morning, it's been a little bit strange. My Sunday morning routine looks a little bit like this. My alarm goes off at 5:20, and I get showered, and I get ready, and I wind up at Starbucks and just kind of do review and just kind of settling my mind on the material and the message for the morning. But this morning, I was getting dressed, and Carolyn bought me this new shirt, and it had been hanging in the closet. It still had the tags on it. And so I put it on this morning and slipped it over my head because I'm lazy and didn't want to unbutton it. But the top button and the bottom button needed to be buttoned. And it was just, I was so sleepy. I had so much trouble getting those two buttons done. I was like, my fingers are not working. I did not understand it. And so then I got the shirt on. I'm looking at it in the mirror, and I'm just kind of like, why is there a really big slit all the way up the side on both sides? And I was like, this is weird. I guess, am I supposed to wear it untucked? And then I started looking at the buttons a little bit closer and realized they were on the wrong side. And I realized it's a woman's shirt. So I did not wear it this morning, fortunately, but that's what happens on cloudy, bleary, sunny mornings sometimes to a pastor when he's got a new shirt. I don't know if Carolyn realized it or not, but quite the prank. So this morning, as we dive into a time of covenant renewal, our church family, every October, moves into a season where we reaffirm our membership with one another. And let me just kind of explain to you really quickly how we see church membership. And on the slide behind me, you'll see just church membership. We have four principles that we've been sharing with each other for about 10 years. But church membership is biblically based. It's spiritually encouraging. It's socially necessary. And it's mission-centered. And so as we move into our time of covenant renewal, we'll conclude, and you've got membership covenants there. And so for those of you who aren't even members, you have an opportunity to understand what does it mean to be a member of this particular church, this body of believers. And we have a membership covenant with five principles. But the next slide just basically tells you there's phrases that we attach to each of these covenant points on that covenant. The phrases are intentional growth, humble unity, shared mission, grateful service, and bold sharing. You see, we're not the kind of church that you can join and then your name is on a church membership roll in perpetuity forever. One of the reasons that we have a covenant membership and we renew our membership every year is we believe that membership at North Star should be meaningful, it should be missional, and it should be significant to each and every one of us because we're making a commitment to be the church together on mission with God. And so at the end of the message, you'll see some of our members come forward with their covenants signed, committing to be members again for another year together, committing to be the church together. This morning, I want to launch off, though, by looking at Ephesians chapter 1. If you'll go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, we're going to look at a passage there that I think will encourage you, and it will remind you what it means to be the church. Now, if this is your first Sunday, or maybe if last week was your first Sunday, these are two special Sundays for us. We are actually in the middle of a series where we're studying 1 Corinthians. And so we'll jump back into 1 Corinthians next week. But these past couple of Sundays have been really encouraging. And just as a reminder for those of you who were here last week, part of your homework last week was to find an opportunity to tell someone how you met Jesus. And if you have not found that opportunity yet or made that opportunity, you are not off the hook. That is who we are as the people of God. And so I want to encourage you to keep praying for and looking for and even making opportunities to tell someone how you met Jesus. And chapter 1, verse 15 of Ephesians will begin, and Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of his strength." And then he seems to move from telling them what he's praying for them into this declaration of who Jesus is. And he says, he exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead, seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. So I want to make a few observations about Paul's prayer, what he prayed for. What can we conclude from that? On the slide behind me, you'll see, first of all, that the Ephesians were prayed for. And so one of the things that as we renew our covenants with each other this year, to be members of North Star Church together for another year, one of the things that we know looking at 2024 is that we want to grow in our corporate prayer life together. Paul is always praying for the churches, and so too should this church be praying for one another and praying for other churches. Another thing that we see that Paul prays for is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in their knowledge of God. Essentially, Paul wants them to get it. Paul wants them to own their belief in Christ. Paul wants them to understand what has been revealed, and he wants them to know the spiritual truths of how to live and walk in a love relationship with God. So he's praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in their knowledge of God. And then he also prays that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. He wants them on a heart level, a soul level, a will level, to want God's will in their life. He wants their vision of their world to be clear. He wants them to be able to see their first century culture. And because this is applicable to us as well, he wants us to see our 21st century culture with eyes that are enlarged and open to the reality that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it should impact how we live and how we make decisions in our relationships. So he prays that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened to know the hope of his calling. And then he prays that they would understand. He mentions wealth, but in other passages he talks about the riches of his grace. He wants us to know the wealth that we have, not material, but spiritual and peaceful wealth that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this wealth, he says, is shared with all the saints, and it's God's incredible graced gift to us because of what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, he prays that they would know God's power in their daily life, on a Monday, on a Wednesday night, on a Friday night, on a Saturday afternoon. He wants them, he wants us to know and experience and to walk in and understand God's power, his active, available, sin-thwarting, hate-repelling, courage-inducing power for each in every believer. So in verse 20 through 23, that's when he shifts, and it's what we might call a Christological passage. And a Christological passage, if you break it down, it's just a study or a revelation of the depth and the beauty and the wonder of who Jesus is. And he talks about how God exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead, seating him at the right hand of God, that he has ultimate authority, that he has authority over all times, not just of this age, but also in the age to come. He says that he is the sovereign ruler of not just the universe, but of every era ever. And then he mentions that this is for the church. And he says that the church is his body, of which he is the head. So all of these realities, all the things that Paul is sharing, it's for the church. And so that's why it's important for us on this Covenant Renewal Sunday to camp out here and understand what Paul is saying. You know, I love this phrase where it says he has subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything. An old preacher once said that when things are over our heads, they are under his feet. And I love that expression. It's that sometimes we need to understand that God is in control even when our life seems to spin out of control. And what I want us to be reminded of this morning is, first of all, who Jesus is. If you as members are going to renew your covenants this morning, we need to be reminded that we're not just like part of a spiritual organization or religious club called North Star Church. We need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is the head of this church and every church that calls upon his name. So when we renew our covenants, we're just saying, in this local church, in this time, in this place, in this generation, we commit to follow Jesus Christ together, to love one another, and to press forward on mission with Jesus. So we want to remind ourselves of who Jesus is. And so Paul has done that for us in verses 20 through 23. We also want to remind ourselves that we are his body, his church today. And so here's why it's significant to be reminded of these things on Covenant Renewal Sunday. You see, when we each individually trust Jesus as our Savior, when you became a Christian, when I became a Christian, we became part of something larger than just our own individual relationship with Jesus. We became a part of his body. We don't then proceed from the moment of our salvation on a do-what-we-want path, just glad that we're heaven-bound. After we trust Christ as Savior, we become part of his body, the church, and therefore we become on mission with one another, with other people. We are incorporated, so to speak. We're welcomed into his family. See, God designed the church, the gathering. God designed his body in a specific way. He designed it to function in specific ways. That's why we have the letters in the New Testament. As Paul and the other apostles are writing to local churches, giving them instructions on how to be the church in their day. In Corinthians, we'll discover in our study when we get to chapter 12 that God gives spiritual gifts to each and every believer in Christ. And those gifts are not given for their individual enjoyment. Those gifts are given to build up the church, to bless the body of believers, and to help the church make disciples in our world. We also learn in Corinthians and also in Ephesians that God gave the church some leaders. Part of God's gifting is that he gives some people to be apostles and pastors and teachers and leaders and evangelists. And what we learn in Ephesians is that the function of these leaders is intended to equip the rest of the church for works of ministry. So when we function together as God designed his body to function, we actually end up doing more than Jesus did when he was alive. And you may think, oh, that sounds a little bit heretical. Think about it for a moment, though. God's people, inhabited by his Spirit for the last 2,000 years, have changed the world with the message of Jesus Christ. God's people have gone places that Jesus never went. And through his people, the power of the Lord God, and Paul is praying that we might know his power, the power of the Lord God has been operative throughout history for miracles and to transform lives and hearts. And even Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 12, to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." See, Jesus commissioned his church. He promised his church that the Holy Spirit would come and live within us, and then he released us, and he says, "Now do all these things together as my church." So each and every individual Christian should belong to a church. They should submit to the leadership of that church that they participate in. They should join the church that they participate in. They should identify with that church, be on mission with that body of believers, because that body of believers has structured themselves in a certain way to know who is in and who is out, to know who identifies themselves as being North Star Church or Blacksburg Baptist Church or Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church or Blue Ridge Church or Grace Life Baptist Church. Wherever you attend and wherever you're a part, you should press on into belonging and membership as that church has structured its membership process. See, here's a quick definition of the church, and you'll see it on the slide behind me. A church is a recognized group of people following Jesus, serving one another, establishing his kingdom by sharing his gospel together. You see, membership matters. It's important for leaders to know who is identifying themselves as belonging to the church, who members are saying, "Hey, I want to grow in this church. I consider you my pastor. I consider you my leader." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, there's an interesting and powerful passage of scripture that says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls. And make no mistake, we will give an account. But do this so that they can do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." And a sober message for those of us who preach and teach is in James chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, "Not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment." And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, it tells those of us who are elders of the church to shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not out of greed for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. What flock is the question? Who is my flock? Who am I called to be a shepherd over? Well, primarily according to Scripture, because North Star has structured itself in a certain way, the people that I would consider my flock are those who've identified themselves as members of North Star. And I'm accountable spiritually for members of North Star. And so a church should know its sheep. A church should love and care for its sheep. It'd be a little bit like if you were sitting down for a family dinner and you're all sitting there about to have meatloaf and you're excited about that, and I love meatloaf, but you're sitting there and someone who none of you knows walks in the door, sits down, gets a plate, and starts serving himself at table with you. And you're all kind of like, just kind of looking around at one another like, this is odd. And it's an enjoyable conversation and seems to be positive and good. And after supper, you just assume that they're going to then leave, but then they kind of hang around after supper and they sit around and watch TV with all of you. And it becomes bedtime. And they start saying, so where's my room? And you're kind of like, you're getting a little bit ahead of the game here, buddy. But what if they kept coming week after week, eating supper with you, expecting to be treated like a member of the family without a formal identification process that in families today we call adoption? It's a formal process where you recognize someone coming into the family, belonging to the family, having all the rights of the family, becoming a member of that family. And so on this slide that says membership matters, it is a reminder in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, 24, and 27, it says this: God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. God has put the body together. Now you are members, now you're the body of Christ and individual members of it. As you prepare to renew your membership this year, you need to know what is going on behind the scenes. This year we reformed our strategy team. Many, many years ago, we had a strategy team. It's a leadership board team. But our strategy team identified many years ago that the most strategic thing we could do, and you guys come on up, the most strategic thing that we could do was to get out of Blacksburg Middle School. Well, we were in Blacksburg Middle School for 18 years, so it took us a while. But we moved into this facility in 2021, but when we moved in, the original mission was accomplished. And so the strategy team was reformed. Brian Lindemuth is the leader of it. And they're going to come and share with you just for a few minutes about what they have identified that's going to keep us on track. Our core values that are going to be sustainable for us as you prepare to renew your membership this year. Oh, come on.
Good morning, North Star. So, Ez, can we go to the next one? Or Sam, the next one, please. Thank you. Before we got to celebrate our 20th anniversary, before there was ever a first meeting of this thing we call North Star Church, someone had a vision. Someone had an idea where this would go and how it should go. And they charted a course that we traveled over the past 20 years that led us to this place. And it's pretty cool. But where do we go from here? It doesn't stop here. We would offer up that it really begins here, right? I mean, that's the focus of our conversations as we meet. So the whole intent of having a strategy team and having a thing called a strategy is to make sure that don't go dot B kind of becomes don't go keep being in the future. Okay, Sam? So there are some things we're trying to achieve as a team. And it's not just an idea, a process of capturing ideas. We want to make sure that we capture what we've achieved so that we can look back on how we realized those successes or maybe tripped and stumbled, and then learn from that so that we can be more effective in planning in the future, which makes us more effective at garnering resources, applying those resources, and then executing the kinds of missions that as a church focused on being the church does. It's all about formalizing how we go about mapping the next steps that we take, right? We are not a decision-making body. We are a group of people who are committed to gathering the information, analyzing that information to the extent of our abilities, and in packaging it for those in the church, the ministry staff, the leadership board, who will ultimately make the decisions in the best interests for us as a body of Christ. Okay, Sam? So you've seen this model before, when the whole notion of having a strategy was reinstituted. They built the foundation on three focus areas, and we're going to tell you about these three focus areas here. So my first venture into the strategy team was on discipleship, and this is not just D28. It encompasses everything that we do to reach out to help us grow in our individual journeys, to lead others to being believers, and to ensure that being the church is permeated throughout everything that we do. You'll see that we have a very clearly defined objective. We want to reproduce people who can keep producing believers and keep nurturing believers who in turn carry that task on in building the body of Christ. One of the cool things about doing this strategy project is that it's happening right now. There are things going on right now, outside, inside, beyond the property we call North Star Church. So it's kind of cool that when you come together and have these ideas, how quickly they turn into activities that we're actively pursuing. We also have some things that we're looking at hard. Is there more we can do on Sundays? Are there things we can do beyond D28? Are there things that we can do with this facility, with our ministry staff, and with the ministry teams that we have here? So a little bit of future going on right now, a little bit of future yet to be developed. Okay, Sam.
Thanks, Brian. Hi, I'm Chris Gaines, and I'm over the focus area of outreach. Last slide, Brian just talked about discipleship. It's about growing people, growing leaders, the body of God for discipleship. And so that's the growing part. So outreach is about going out and reaching lost people, locally and globally. There's a lot going on right now, a lot of teams to be involved with. Two teams to highlight is the community outreach team, which is a local team, and it's led by Rebecca Lansford and Hannah Killian. And globally, there's the missions team that's currently led by Russell Killian. And they could both use your help. And some of the things that's going on right now, what we have is, what do we got here? Yep, we're greeting new neighbors. We got a whole new area, 700 plus houses being built. We've already gone out there and reached them and welcomed them. And we've already seen some fruit come from that. We also have networking in local schools. So we've been donating school supplies and even sports equipment to local schools and building those relationships. New Hope Girls, Dominican Republic, that is rescuing young girls and empowering women. And also, of course, the Bag of Joy, where kids are less fortunate to have a Christmas. We're able to have an opportunity to give presents there. And then we've been to Istanbul and then other places where members have connections and feel led to go. Going into the future, these teams are starting to already build their plan for next year. What other partnerships they can develop? What other relationships can we have? And what other communities can we touch locally? And then, of course, missions globally around the world. With that, I will pass it over to Justin and support.
Hey, everyone. My name is Justin Yalung. My wife normally is up here, so I'm getting a good dose of what she has to go through. I have the pleasure of convening the support team, and if you think about it, it's the people and the stuff, right, that helps make for effective outreach and discipleship. So I will be working with, and I need to build a team, quite frankly, so if you're interested, please come see me, to build a team to work with the existing teams to highlight staff support team, building and grounds team, stewardship team, right, to think through what it could look like in the coming years, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years of what it could be, what could be needed to support the big things that are going to be planned for discipleship and outreach. So some of the things that are happening right now, how about that parking lot, right? So not as interesting as, say, international missions, but we need it, right? It's here to support the growth that we're already seeing, but what about after that, right? What about the back patio? Could that be an outreach opportunity? Not decision-making, but just exploring through that. And what about the future of staff hires strategically to support the growth of this community, to support the sustainability of the church and its staff and growing ministries? So if you have a heart for the support side of being in the church, please reach out to me, and I'll turn it back over to Brian.
Okay, Sam. As I said, we're not a decision-making body. We're a collection of people who are there to kind of function as an additional group of brain cells for the leadership of our church to take on and make the hard decisions in the best interest for the congregation as a whole. But we're not just serving them. We're here to serve you. You're sitting on an idea right now. You're sitting on something that we could introduce to our small groups or into our youth ministries, into our care ministries, all the other ministry groups. You're sitting on that idea right now. We'd love to hear about it. Because ultimately, the leadership of our church will look to us to research and develop that and then package it in a way that we can build it into our plans so that we can adequately resource it and then realize the goodness from that idea. So we're here not to be a filter, we're here to be an enabler. We have an opportunity to see the future right now in these two parking lots, and we're not done there, but it gives you a visual of how quickly things can come together when you put the good idea process into an element of structure and can, through a focused effort of thinking through the problem we're trying to solve and making the smartest investments possible, realize a huge return from those investments. There's a place for you in what we're doing. You heard Chris talk about the outreach that's going on right now. New neighborhoods springing up all around us. That's new opportunities for new relationships, new members, new teams, new ministries. There's a place right now. If you're part of the, or if your experience leads you to the facilities side and the sustainment side, there's a huge effort that we'll have to undertake to make sure that this building stays relevant. There's a resourcing side that makes sure that our small groups and our ministries stay relevant, that the messaging we're giving to our youth, to our young adults, to those of us who are enjoying our safely middle-aged years, can enjoy. All of that has to do with being the church in the future. If that touches on you, come see us, because there's a place for you right now. Now, we will have a suggestion box. It's not going to be a physical box. It's going to be a button. We're going to have a place on the website where you can go in and you can drop your idea. And then if you would please, when that goes active, and we'll make sure you know when it's up, make sure we know how to get in touch with you so we can understand what's going on. But here's a way that you'll, in short order, have an opportunity to influence the direction of North Star in the years to come. Amen.
Can't tell you how grateful I am as a pastor, and I know how our staff is, that we have a team that's focused to make sure that North Star stays anchored in discipleship, that North Star stays anchored in outreach, and that they think through how is the best ways to support the ongoing work of this church with behind-the-scenes work and organization. So that's what we are looking at in the days ahead, and I hope that you're grateful for the work of this team. They've got 8 or 9 people on their team, and they've been meeting diligently, looking forward to what our future holds for us. So as you prepare to renew, if you look at your covenants there, as members and also as non-members, let me just kind of walk you through what each of these points is. I'm not going to hit the bullet points, because those are just amplifications or explanations of what that main point is, but the first point is this: I will cultivate my relationship to Jesus Christ, obey his teachings, and practice his ways. In other words, it means that I can't make you love Jesus. No one here can really make you love Jesus. When you join North Star, when you reaffirm your membership to North Star, you know that you are personally responsible for growing in your faith. It's intentional growth. Second thing is you'll protect the unity of the church and Christ's kingdom. The third thing is you will share the responsibility of this church and of Christ's kingdom. And the fourth thing is you will serve in the ministry of the church and Christ's kingdom. And finally, we all understand as members that it's our joy to proclaim the glory of God to others and to tell others of his marvelous works. And one of the challenges we gave you last week in our 20th anniversary celebration was to find a way, make a time to tell someone how you met Jesus. That's part of what we mean of proclaiming the glory of God to others, to tell people about who he is. So I want to invite the band to come up, and they're going to help close us in worship. And when they begin playing, members, you can go ahead and come forward and bring your signed covenants to the stage. But as there's a little bit of movement about to start happening and as the band comes up, let me tell you who are not yet members here about a couple of things that you need to be aware of. Our personality here is a little bit quirky, as you have probably noticed behind the scenes. But here are some distinctives of North Star Church should you decide that you want to pursue membership. One of our distinctives is that we love to make much of Jesus. He is everything to us. And we want to proclaim him and sing his praises and live for him. That's why we say be the church. Another distinctive is that we are guided by Scripture. We teach from Scripture, but we are also organized and we function according to Scripture. We expect spiritual growth. I hope that's come through really clearly, is that when you're a member of North Star, we don't want you just stagnant, but we want you growing and thriving and enjoying your love relationship with Jesus. And then we love to embrace joy here. We also cultivate a family culture. And as Sean said in the welcome, we do have a Discovering North Star. For those of you who are interested in learning more about our church, coming up on November 5th, right after the first service, you can go to don'tgo.be/discover, and you can RSVP for that. Or if you just need to know more before you sign up for a membership class, you can go to don'tgo.be/membership, and you can find out more there. But at this time, we're going to ask that you stand. And those of you who are members, if you come forward at this time and bring your covenant to the stage in an act of renewal.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.